and your appreciation for being able to sing together, to sing with this trio that was just assembled. I will tell you, on the other side, we are happy too. We are happy that we get to hear y'all sing together, and thank you for being here. Thank y'all for the songs that y'all have all sung this morning. I want to invite you into a New Testament reading that comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. Originally, I was planning on just starting at verse 23 through 27. It's the story of Jesus calming the storm. It's an extraordinarily well-known story. However, Matthew is writing this. He's writing very particularly in the Gospel of Matthew. He's inviting us to be disciples of Jesus. Not only the 12 disciples that were with Jesus, but this is Matthew 28, in fact, is the one that has those closing words of Jesus that are so well known, make disciples of all nations. And so Matthew's inviting us on this journey. And so we're going to start at verse 18, but it is completely connected with Jesus coming into the boat. And I hope that you'll be able to see that. But Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 18, and then we'll go through 27. Now, when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go to the other side. And a scribe then approached and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, first, let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, this is Jesus, and when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm suddenly arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And they went and they woke him up and they said, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" And then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. And they were amazed, and they were saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Oh Lord, not only do we give you thanks for the words that you are speaking in our midst, but we give you thanks, oh God, for your presence. For your presence that has called us together and has invited us to be in this space. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful for the many opportunities that we have, oh God, not only to hear from you, but to gather together. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you will let these words become living words for each of us. Lord, may our hearts be open before them. May the meditation that happens among our hearts, well, may that lead, oh God, to us discovering more faith in our own lives. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the words that you have shared with me, the words that you have spoke to me. I pray and ask, oh God, that as I speak this morning, that the words that I say, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. I do want to remind you that we are in a season in the life of the church that's called Lent. This is a season of 40 days. Our first Sunday in the season of Lent was last Sunday. It's 40 days, not counting Sunday. And over this time, we are committing ourselves to prepare for the season and the celebration of Easter. And so part of that is that after the worship service, at the end of the worship service, you will notice that there are elements that are here. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion. What that is that just at the end of the service, after the benediction, if you would like to, you can come and you can celebrate Holy Communion. I will say this, that the bread that is there, it is gluten-free, it is nut-free, it is dairy-free, and then the juice that is there, but it is that you'll come, you'll receive, you can take a moment, you can kneel at the altar, you can pray, and then it's just one of those things that's available. I also do want to dispel one myth that as we have come together, one of the ideas that I had that as we were coming into the season of Lent, as I was praying and thinking about us coming together on this second Sunday in Lent, and this was, I was pretty late in planning this, so this came toward Ash Wednesday, as Ash Wednesday was coming, I knew that I wanted us to walk through that temptation story with Jesus that we went through last week. But I also knew this story about discipleship, which is what this story about Jesus inviting the disciples into the boat, is absolutely a story about being a disciple of Jesus. I would like to tell you, we were able to turn on a dime as a worship team. Worship team, they knew that this was going to be the text on Monday, and so I'd love to be able to tell you, that we were able to turn on a dime and to have a perfect worship service that lined up with the cultural events that happened. We're not that clever at all. However, when we do submit ourselves to God, there are truly amazing things that happen. So it is God gets the credit for that. That old Julius Caesar line, beware the Ides of March. Maybe that's always appropriate for Alabama too. Maybe that's one of those things that you need to pay attention to in the future. But I am glad that you have found yourselves here, that you have made it here. This story that I said that I wanted to back up before Jesus comes into the boat with the disciples, have you noticed this? Have you ever paid attention to this, that how often Jesus will, there are these significant moments that happen when Jesus is walking around. I mean, when Jesus is around, just walking, just going from one place to the other place. There's a moment when Jesus is walking, this hemorrhaging woman, a woman that has had this issue of blood. This is how the scriptures describe it. This issue of blood that's happened for years. She touches the hem of the garment of Jesus, his robe, and she's immediately healed. These lessons that come over and over, where Jesus invites his disciples and they're walking and they're just moving. And he talks about dirt. He talks about rocks. He talks about the spiritual condition of how God's word comes into hearts. And he does it from dirt. He does it from rocks. Birds and flowers. Notice the birds of the air. Notice the flowers of the field. And then he will say, what about God's presence? What about God's peace? This is not unlike what is happening here in this reading that we have from the Gospel of Matthew. A scribe who works and lives in the most holy and sacred words. A scribe who is committed. This is his life. This is how he works. This is how he lives in editing and copying sacred words of Hebrew scriptures. And he says, teacher, I will follow you to Jesus. He says, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And on the surface, if you hear these words, on the surface, it sounds like Jesus is just dismissing his call that says, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. It seems that Jesus is being dismissive with just a simple platitude. When he says, well, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But to one who is trained in a lifetime of words, to one who is trained and knows the power that words can have, what Jesus just said is not a simple phrase, not an offhand remark, but there's a power and there's a truth that comes in these words for Jesus. For foxes and birds who are cared for by God, as we're reminded in the Sermon on the Mount, and as they will always be cared for, a reminder that is well known to the scribe, yet for Jesus, as he begins to speak to this scribe in a way that the scribe is able to understand, and immediately began to know the implications of this, what stands out is loud and clear is that there is no permanent place where I am going to be tied to. There is no permanent base of operations. There is no home. There is no temple. There is no permanent place that I am going to be connected with. There's not going to be a candle. There's not going to be a desk that is filled with ancient manuscripts ready to be copied, ready to be translated. For the scribe, the call that Jesus says to him in these few words is a call to go into the unknown. It is, in fact, a call to go to the other side. And so when Jesus uses those words, well, you know, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, that is the human being, has nowhere to lay his head. He's inviting this scribe into a life like he has never experienced before. Again, no desk, no candle, no ancient manuscripts that are yanked off of the wall, dust blown off of them. In a similar fashion, for a morning sun, a disciple of Jesus, Jesus says the time is now. There's no time to wait. Because for disciples and also for would-be disciples, well, would-be disciple never just waits for the next step, a new direction, a focus on this place or that place, but a would-be disciple walks into the unknown following Jesus. And this is what leads us to this moment of, and I don't know, maybe we can do this. Maybe we can imagine. It leads us into this moment of a boat. It leads us into this absolute moment of the boat, because notice the order as Jesus and the disciples are coming to the boat. Notice the order. Who is it that gets into the boat? Who is it the first one that gets into the boat? Is it the disciples or is it Jesus? I'm absolutely certain that if Elijah was still in the room, Elijah would yell it out. Because it is so simple. It is so clear. Jesus is the one that gets into the boat first. The disciples are the very ones who are following Jesus into the boat, which is exactly what Matthew wants us to see about this scribe. It is exactly what Matthew wants us to see about this son who was mourning. That to be a disciple of Jesus means that we follow Jesus into places that are oftentimes unknown. To follow Jesus means that that is the thing, is that Jesus is oftentimes, if not always, that Jesus is going to be further than where we are at the time. Jesus is the one that gets into the boat first. It is the disciples that follow Jesus into the boat. The disciples follow Jesus, and this is what we know, because the story has come to an end. This is what we know, is that the disciples follow Jesus into the middle of the storm. You see, for disciples of Jesus, it's not enough to beware the ides of March. Rather, the message is, beware every day. And when you're flooding and Jesus is there, recognize the presence that Jesus has, because this is just it. When we follow Jesus, we are following Jesus into the unknown. We are following Jesus on to the other side. If you have had that moment, and you heard some of our singers testify to that moment, if you have had that moment and said, you know what, I'm a little bit confused now. If you have had moments and said in your own life, I'm a little bit uncertain about what my next step is, what my next direction is. To be able to admit that is, in fact, being a faithful disciple of Jesus. Jesus knew what the other side was going to look like. Jesus knew what was going to happen on the other side. Jesus gets into the boat and the disciples follow Jesus. The call to discipleship, according to Matthew, the call to discipleship is a call to get into the boat. It is a call to go straight into a storm. If you read it literally, as well, I believe that Matthew's inviting us to do in this particular story. You see, for disciples of Jesus, the kind of spiritual growth, the kind of depth, the kind of transformation that takes place in our lives is not in the absence of fear. It's not in the absence of grief or mourning. It's not getting our affairs in order, getting everything straight before we go. But spiritual growth, the kind, if we could grasp for that really old-fashioned word, I think we can do that. If we can sing one of Charles Wesley's songs, I think we can do that. But the real measure of sanctification, to be made holy, to be made like God, to be imitators of Christ. That act of spiritual growth and sanctification, the spiritual growth, is about our willingness to follow Jesus into a boat that is at times so battered by waves that we think we might die if we continue to be faithful disciples of Jesus. Because, as Matthew reminds us, there's a scribe and there is another disciple. Where do they go? They stay. They never get to the other side with Jesus. And yet those who do follow Jesus, those who do get into the boat, they follow Jesus straight into a storm. And Matthew insists that discipleship is dangerous. I was in church one time. I had a wonderful opportunity. I had a great piano player in church. And she told me. She told me about a time that her and her husband, that they had went, and it was just them. They went deep sea fishing. And they were down in Destin, Florida. It's one of those things. I've never done deep sea fishing. Lots of trips. That's why people think that there's something wrong with me, because I've been so many times to Destin, Florida, and I've never been deep sea fishing. Because one of the really unique things, one of the really amazing things about Destin is that you don't have to go that far off. You don't have to go very far off, but you can be in the midst of extraordinarily deep water, and you can catch some really deep water fish. And so husband and wife, they go out deep sea fishing, and you know what happens is that a storm comes up. There's a storm that begins, and she tells him, faithful United Methodist Christian who tells her husband, who's also extraordinarily faithful in their church right now, and I'm convinced are serving right now in this moment. But she says, if we ever make it back to the shore, if we do make it back to the shore, I'm never getting on another boat with you ever again. Storms, they're unpredictable and they're frightening. And in fact, I mean, there is truth. This is what it is. The disciples are experienced in storms. Many of them are fishermen. They grew up around water. They were surrounded by water, very close to the Mediterranean Sea. And they can be, the storms can be unpredictable, they can be frightening. Waves can overtake the boat. And the disciples wake Jesus up in the middle of the storm. And they ask simply, they say, Lord, save us. We're perishing. Now, we don't have to go all the way back to the first century, because all of us have had moments. All of us have had moments in our own lives. Whether we're a disciple, whether we're not a disciple, each one of us has had moments in our lives when we said, Lord, save us. Moments in our lives when we said, we're perishing. And notice what Jesus says. This is another step into the discipleship as Matthew invites us to experience for ourselves. Notice what Jesus says. Why are you afraid? You of little faith. This is about discipleship. Discipleship is about faith. Being a disciple of Jesus is about faith. Faith is about trust. Trust in something. Hebrews 11:1 says it this way. Now faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Trust. Faith. It is assurance of things that we hope will happen. Things that are going to hope, that we hope will happen. But it's a conviction of things that we're unable to see in the moment. In the boat, with waves that are pouring in over the sides, with the wind, with the lightning, with Jesus asleep. Faith is the assurance, it is the conviction that we're going to make it, that we're going to get to the other side. And in their discipleship journey, following Jesus to the other side, much like ours, miracles happen. Miracles do take place. Miracles happen. In this moment, the miracle, and this is what Matthew wants us to see, is that there are moments that God breaks through in tremendous ways in our lives. Again, as we're following Jesus, as we're getting to the other side, Jesus stands up and rebukes the winds and the sea, and there is dead calm. And the miracle of that moment leads the disciples now somewhat experienced going to the other side with Jesus, but the miracle leads the disciples to ask, what sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And as disciples ourselves, we continue to ask questions over and over. What sort of Jesus do we follow? Who is Jesus in our lives right now? What sort of Jesus asks us to go straight into the storm? What sort of Jesus, in moments, miraculous moments, what sort of Jesus is able to calm those storms in our lives? What sort of Jesus leads us to greater faith? What sort of Jesus enables us to experience greater trust in God? A greater trust than we ever thought that we would experience before. It's the kind of Jesus that, well, John reminds us. Very close at Jesus' life, at the end of Jesus' life, when Jesus begins to talk about leaving his disciples. People that he's spent at least 3 years, if not longer, but he spent at least 3 years with them, living with them, teaching them, as the scriptures remind us, showing them everything. That's the kind of Jesus that in John chapter 14, Jesus begins to see. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And then John 14, 18, as he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphaned, but I am coming to you. You see, this is the kind of Jesus that we find and we experience in our own journeys of discipleship. It's the kind of Jesus that, well, invites us into the boat to get to the other side. It's going to be storms. Our children know that. Our children know that not a single one of us is going to be immune from the storms. Thanks be to God, they don't know the depths of those storms that can really rip our lives apart. They get thrown into them, unfortunately. Many of them get thrown into them when they're way too young. They get thrown into the storms of the bigger people in their lives, the bigger events in our lives, but they recognize even now that none of us is immune from the storms. There is going to be another storm that's going to come. So one of our children remind us, the capital is a capital N, it's a capital O. Is this the last storm? No, it's not. There would be storms that are coming. But Jesus has promised us to never leave us orphaned, never to leave us abandoned. In fact, Jesus has reminded us that Jesus is coming to us. This is what we all live for, not only in celebration of Easter, but celebration of that return of Jesus Christ that has promised to come to us in this world. And so the kind of Jesus that we follow is a Jesus that invites us at times into the midst of storms, invites us at times into the midst of moments where our trust and our faith, well, they grow exponentially. And yet for today, the kind of Jesus that we always follow is one who has promised never to leave us orphaned. And particularly when we are on our way to the other side. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for clarity. We thank you for direction. Thank you, O God, that although we may not know, that although we may feel like we are perishing, we are grateful, O God, that you know a greater plan and a greater purpose for our lives. Give us faith on this day. Give us faith to trust in you. Although we may not see, Lord, we'll just hold on to the convictions of our trust in you. Although we may not know what's on the other side, Lord, in this very moment, give us the assurance of faith in you. For we pray, we ask this all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. And I would like to invite our ushers to come down this morning as we prepare to give our tithes and as we prepare to give our offering.